Immediately following the NBA draft on Thursday night, the Sacramento Kings and Alabama wing Keon Ellis agreed to a two-way contract. But who is Keon Ellis? What can he provide the Sacramento Kings? And was that move a steal for Sacramento? Here to answer some of those questions and tell us more about Keon Ellis is Tony Tsoukalos from Bama Central, covers Alabama basketball. It's right here on Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all off season. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. They have you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm a sports producer and reporter at ABC 10 News in Sacramento. And of course, we've been talking so much about Keegan Murray, and rightfully so, the Sacramento Kings' fourth overall pick. If you missed my most recent episode of Locked On Kings, I was at Keegan's introductory press conference inside the Golden One Center. I play that full press conference for you. Plus, I got to spend about 3 minutes talking one-on-one with Keegan Murray a little bit, getting to know him, asking him about the fan base, what he's heard about the Kings fans and the Golden One Center, and talks a little bit about his draft class as well. But now we're going to switch gears to another player that the Sacramento Kings ended up with on draft night, but they didn't draft, even though maybe he was expected to be drafted. Usually when you see the Kings or any team after the draft is over offer two-way contracts and invite a bunch of undrafted players to summer league, it's to give them opportunity. But in the past, there's really been a reason why they've gone undrafted, right? And I'm trying to have realistic expectations, as all fans should have realistic expectations for Kings players or any players that are undrafted. But it's starting to become more common, or at least we're starting to hear rumblings and conversations of agents intentionally wanting their players to not go drafted if they're projected second round talent, intentionally not wanting them to get drafted so that after the draft, they can take a bunch of offers and they can choose where they go. And it makes sense for Keon Ellis to choose the Sacramento Kings, who are in desperate need of 3-and-D wings. That seems to be what Keon Ellis is, but don't take my word for it. Take Tony's word for it. I'm really excited to have Tony here on Locked On Kings for the first time. Does a great job covering Alabama sports for Bama Central. Tony is going to tell us a little bit more about Keon Ellis. On draft night, the Sacramento Kings walked away with Keegan Murray as their fourth overall pick. They traded away their 2 second rounders, but immediately after the draft was over, the Sacramento Kings agreed to a two-way deal with Alabama's Keon Ellis, who, admittedly, I know absolutely nothing about. And I think there are a lot of Kings fans who also know absolutely nothing about Keon Ellis. That's the best part about doing a podcast like this, is the great network of journalists around the world, around the country. And I'm so happy to have Tony Tsoukalos here. He covers Alabama, not just hoops, but Alabama sports in general for Bama Central. Tony, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here on Locked On Kings with me, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm excited to learn a little bit more about Keon Ellis, but I hope you enjoyed this draft process as much as you possibly could, because it's always chaotic over here.
It was different from an Alabama perspective, because in the past few years, you know, they've had players go early, and you kind of knew that this year was going to be a little bit different. And shoot, I mean, they almost went, you know, 0-for-2. I think the weird thing from an Alabama perspective is you have, you know, JD Davison and Keon Ellis. These are both guys that, you know, you guys might not know a lot about Keon Ellis, but he was projected as a possible first round pick at some point in the offseason. And he was, you know, really supposed to have, I think he was supposed to take more of a step during his senior year than he did. Not saying he had a bad senior year, but I think people were kind of expecting him to maybe be a late first round kind of guy. And he's really a guy that I was surprised to see undrafted, just because like a 3-and-D wing like he is, I mean, everybody needs one of those, and he's really talented. Heading into the season, Nate Oates said that he was one of the best two-way players in the nation, and you could make that argument. He's a guy that can really hit threes. He's Alabama's best defensive player. you know, really, I think that the thing that maybe hurt Keon was he's not Herb Jones. And I think everybody wanted him to be Herb Jones, especially with, you know, the way that Herb Jones kind of broke out for the Pelicans this season. And it's just unfair to compare someone to the, you know, SEC player, or at that point, the SEC player of the year. So, but I think the Kings got a big steal with Keon.
I love what you said. You said everybody in the league needs a 3-and-D guy because the Sacramento Kings desperately need a 3-and-D guy. So it made a lot of sense. The limited knowledge that I know about Keon Ellis and doing my own kind of analysis or just looking into Keon Ellis, research a little bit about Keon Ellis' game, the 3-and-D aspect jumped out to me right away. But you were telling me a little bit about his route to get kind of to this point. He was a senior this year at Bama, but only played 2 years at Bama because he took the JUCO route, correct? Can you tell me a little bit about what you noticed about him when he came to Bama and how maybe he grew in his couple of years at Bama?
Yeah, so he was a guy that came in from JUCO during Alabama's, you know, big run, you know, 2 seasons ago when they won the SEC title and the SEC tournament and got to the Sweet 16. And at that point, he was more of a role player. I mean, you look at that team had, you know, at that kind of three position, they had, you know, John Petty, and then they had, you know, Herb Jones could do a lot of the defensive stuff he had. Obviously, they had Joshua Primo. So it was a deeper roster or a different roster than the one they had this year. And the thought was that, you know, Keon was going to step in kind of almost that Herb Jones role. He's not quite as big, but he's that lockdown defender that, you know, the thought was that he could provide more offense because he's a better offensive player than Herb was. And while he was able to do that, he didn't quite, you know, make that jump as much as what, you know, they thought. But he's a guy that, you know, I think surprised a lot of people in year one of his ability to come off the bench and really kind of contribute to that really good team. And then last year he was a starter and you know, he was a guy that I think the team really counted on, both from a leadership standpoint and, you know, just a dependability standpoint. Last year's Alabama team was kind of a mess in terms of consistency, and it seemed like almost like the team was lost at some point. And the defensive effort wasn't always there. So to be the best defensive guy and to show that constant effort that Keon did, I think, you know, if you look back and ask Alabama basketball coach Nate Oates, I think Keon's probably one of the guys that he didn't have to worry about. I would imagine he would be one of Nate Oates' favorite players from last year, just because, you know, he's a guy that always played with that effort and kind of did that kind of what Alabama calls blue collar basketball. And I think he really fit that to a T. I think that's why he was brought in by Alabama. And for the most part, I think he really did, you know, accomplish what they wanted him to do there.
You talked about his defense a little bit and the energy and the effort that he plays with. I know that's music to the ears of some Kings fans and might be music to the ears of Kings head coach Mike Brown, the new head coach. He's trying to come in and implement a new defensive system, a new defensive culture. We have to have realistic expectations for a guy who didn't go drafted. He signed a two-way contract, so we know he's going to be spending at least a decent portion of time next season with the Stockton Kings G League team. But defensively, what would you say are his biggest strengths or the biggest part of his defensive game that stood out most to you?
He's just super athletic, so he can get to the ball. He can force turnovers, and then I think he can, you know, kind of like turn that into transition. That's a big thing. I don't think you're going to be like posting him up too much. I mean, but he's not a, let's see how, I think he's what, 6'6"? Yeah, 6'6", 175. So, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, that can do that. He averaged 6.1 rebounds. You know, a lot of Alabama's rebounds are, they shoot a lot of threes, so they come out more. So he, you know, he can kind of beat players to rebounds instead of just, he's not going to be someone that's going to lord in the post a little bit, he's, you know. But I just, in terms of just the energy he's going to bring and the athleticism he's going to have, I think that, you know, I think he could be a pesky defensive player in the league. And I kind of like the fact that he went to the team like the Kings that, you know, they need him. And then also, you know, that roster is kind of a roster that you may be able to break into. And I think if you allow him to do that, he could be a surprise. I would not be surprised if he sticks in the league, which is all you can really ask for from a player that you don't draft. I'm not saying that's a guarantee with him, but I would not be surprised.
Well, it's certainly not unheard of for a player who signs a two-way contract to actually end up on the main roster. The Sacramento Kings had that a couple seasons ago. They had both Chimezie Metu on a two-way deal. He got a main team contract, was on a main team contract with the team last year. And then the same with big man Damian Jones. So the Kings have seen players come through their system, start as two-way players, and end up earning main contract, main roster spots before. So I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility at all. But, Tony, it's pretty rare to see players come into the NBA that are seniors, that spend that long in college and then come to the NBA. When they do so, you almost expect them to make more of an immediate impact because they're older, their body's a little more developed. Do you think Keon naturally has the maybe the physical gifts, doesn't necessarily need the body to develop as much as like these 19, 20-year-old freshmen or sophomore rookies in this class to come in right away and have an impact like the Kings maybe are hoping for?
Yeah, and I think he could be, you know, a role guy. I think, you know, he's a guy that you could, you know, if you need a defensive stop, I think he's a guy that can contribute that. And then obviously on the offensive end of it, I don't think he's going to take over anything on offense, but he's a guy that you can't leave open for three, you know? And so I think, you know, he'd be a good energy guy off the bench if he, you know, a rotation kind of player, if he can play into that. For him, I think it's just a consistency matter. And that's, I think, the reason why he didn't get drafted is just he wasn't able to show that consistency. But as far as a skill set, if you're, you know, if you're able to kind of have him grow a little bit more, he, you know, it's not a case of like JD Davison's another athletic player that you know, obviously went to the Celtics in the second round. He's more of a project in terms of he could be an absolute star. He has a huge ceiling, but he definitely needs some more development. I think Keon is a more polished player, obviously with a lower ceiling, but somebody that I think that could really have a role on a team and just be that guy that maybe you bring in to guard a key player. And then, you know, somebody that you at least have to respect on the offensive side of the ball. You can't just, you know, it's not just an only defensive player. Because he can knock down some threes, especially when he gets hot. He can really, you know, be a menace.
Today's episode of Locked On Kings brought to you by our friends at Bet Online, your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. There is so much betting around the NBA draft, and I hope you cashed in on some way, shape, or form. Maybe you cashed in on the Kings taking Keegan Murray at 4. Maybe you really cashed in on Jabari Smith Jr. falling to the Rockets at 3, or Paolo Banchero being drafted number one overall by Orlando. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's Stanley Cup playoffs that just wrapped up. Hopefully you made money off of that. Major League Baseball going on right now. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and even golf. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends and the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. You mentioned building off of that. You mentioned you can't leave him open from three-point range. Is it specifically in floor spacing, like catch-and-shoot, kick-out opportunities? Is he a good shooter creating his own shot and shooting off the dribble? Where are his shooting strengths?
Yeah, no, I think he could create his own shot. I mean, I think a lot of the times, like if I remember right, you know, some of these where, you know, Alabama spreads everything so out so much that he, you know, he does get a lot of like open looks, and you know, and obviously he's able to convert those. I think the game that stands out to me, he had 28 points against Kentucky. He knocked down like 7 of 11 threes, and it was just one of those things where like he's a guy that can get hot like that, and whether it's, you know, finding him open in the corner or him just like, you know, creating his own shot, like you said, I think he can provide that offense and he can really get hot. But I think, you know, the game, just to point out some of what I'm saying, right? So that game against Kentucky, he was 7 of 11, right? The game before that, he was 0 for 7 against Mississippi State. I think that's just the problem that you're going into, is like sometimes you're just like, oh man, he just doesn't have it. When it's all clicking, he can be a dangerous offensive player. It's just a matter of which Keon Ellis are you going to get.
Is that consistency, you think, what prevented him from being a draft pick? Or is there another part of his game that you think, okay, this needs to sharpen, if not fully develop, but this needs to sharpen for him to have a chance at a pretty solid NBA career?
I mean, I know that the league is, he's a pretty muscular kid. I think he could probably stand to put on a little bit more weight. As far as the reason why he wasn't drafted, which I think that is that, you know, the consistency aspect. I think he could have been a late first rounder if he was able to put up more. I mean, I don't think anyone's expecting him to go, you know, 7 of 11 from three against top five opposition every night. But, you know, I think if you would have had more 15 point performances, more, you know, just that steady scorer, I think he probably would have been a late first rounder just because of what all he can do and that athleticism. And, you know, he projects well in terms of, you know, things you can't teach, you know? And so I think that's important. But I mean, there's only two rounds and there's a lot of talented players. And, you know, if you can't show that consistency, you're going to get passed up. I think there's a reason, too, that he was signed up right away. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the Kings probably had to beat a lot of teams to his, you know, to his signature, because he's a guy that if there was a 3-round draft, he would have gotten picked.
I think you're onto something there, Tony, because we're hearing more and more about, especially with like the G League Ignite and the further development of the G League, you're hearing more about players who are projected second rounders or late second rounders whose agents are intentionally telling teams not to draft them. They don't want to get drafted so that they can have their choice of where they go. Even if it's just a bunch of summer league invites and they say, okay, we want to go to this summer league team because we think that this team has an opportunity to, or we actually have an opportunity of my guy actually playing for this team. The Sacramento Kings make a lot of sense. A lot of teams know, or rather a lot of agents know, that the Sacramento Kings are desperately looking for 3-and-D type players. It makes a lot of sense for Keon to go, I want to go to Sacramento because that's probably my best chance in the league of actually making my way onto a main roster spot. And I get a 2-way contract out of it. Okay, maybe short term is not what I want, but I have long term opportunity. And I say all that to ask you about Keon's personality, like getting to know the young man. Like, what about his personality stands out? Is he known as a fantastic teammate? Is he known as a talker and a leader? Is he kind of more quiet and reserved and lets his game do the talking? Like, what is Keon's personality?
That's great. Like, you know, that's one of the parts that I don't think Kings fans should be worried about at all. I mean, you know, Alabama's basketball team was always kind of like, I guess, more reserved. There wasn't anybody like super loud on the team in terms of talking with the media, but Keon was like, I would probably say one of the most polite, most, good head on his shoulders kind of kid in terms of talking to us. As far as being on the team, I know he won the blue collar award, which is kind of like hustle points, a few times. He was somebody that would win that award pretty regularly. And that has to do a lot more with what you do on the court in terms of, you know, hustling and diving for things. But it also kind of shows a leadership. If you're able to kind of consistently get that award, it kind of it raises your status with the team. And I think, you know, as a senior last year, he was somebody that was kind of one of the glue guys in terms of the locker room. So, he's a junior college guy, and you always kind of wonder about those guys of like, why are they in junior college? From talking to his junior college coach in the past, I think that like a grades thing than it is, you know, he didn't have any kind of, you know, big mess up in his life that forced him to go to junior college. I think it was more of just a eligibility thing and getting to the, you know, Division I that way. So he seems like a pretty clean, put together kid that shouldn't be a problem moving forward in terms of, you know, causing any kind of distractions. Obviously there's no room for that when you're a 2-way player like that. Problem at all.
We're expecting to get a really good look at Keon, as well as Keegan Murray and some of these other players that went undrafted in summer league. It starts with the California Classic next weekend in San Francisco, then normal summer league in Las Vegas. Tony, what do you think Sacramento Kings fans, expect is a good question, but also should look for from Keon Ellis? Those who are curious about Keon, who want to know a little bit more about his game, what should they try to pay attention to from Keon here in these summer league games?
I would just look at the, you know, like I said, the energy that he brings. And, you know, if you're looking for, if he's going to make the team, like how can he play on a consistent basis? Cause like, you know, can he string together multiple good games during this summer and really show to the Kings that, you know, he's developing in that aspect. But as far as expectations too, I expect him to compete to make the team. And like you said, he landed in a great spot, whether or not like, you know, he kind of designed it that way. It sure worked out for him. I think that, you know, the Kings were, if he could draw it up, would be one of the better spots that he could have landed. So I think he competes for the team. And really, I wouldn't be surprised if he makes it or, you know, at least gets a chance to start off and make it at some point during the season. I think, you know, it's hard to get super amped up about an undrafted. I'm not going to say like, oh, Kings fans should go out and buy their Keon Ellis jerseys right now. I mean, of course not. But that being said, I think, you know, as far as a guy that, you know, a lot of them don't know about it, I think you might be pleasantly surprised, and it might be an exciting guy and somebody that could, you know, help as you're rebuilding and kind of rebuild the roster. He could be a guy that could really contribute and possibly earn some meaningful minutes as his, you know, kind of career develops.
Well, Kings fans have fallen in love with talent in the summer league before, and they end up getting main roster spots. And I actually think it speaks volumes about Keon that Sacramento didn't just invite him to summer league like they did for a handful of other players. I think there are four players that the Kings have added to their roster, Keon being one of them. Keon, I believe, was the only one to get a two-way contract. The Kings only have two of those. The second one is already expected to go to Nemias Keita. So basically, it sounds like this was their one two-way contract to give out, and they decided to give it to Keon right away, which I think speaks in his favor, the expectation that he's going to be a part of this organization in some way, shape, or form. Should be very exciting for him, and it's very exciting for me because now I really want to pay attention to see, okay, what do the Kings, not just what could they have, it's what do they have now in Keon. So the last thing that I have for you, Tony, is how do you think the Sacramento Kings, Summer League is, I mean, the Kings are the defending Summer League champions. We know that doesn't really mean anything, but it's fun for us to say because we don't win anything else here. But how did the Sacramento Kings use Keon or maximize Keon to his strengths? How do they put Keon in a position to succeed that helps the Kings ultimately succeed?
Yeah, I think you just play to, you know, you play to his strength. You find ways to get him open on three, but then also let him be that menace on defense. If you need to have, you know, I think Alabama plays a very, you know, high pressure, fast paced game. I think that also, you know, translated well for Keon Ellis. So I think, you know, if he's able to kind of do some of those similar things over in Sacramento, I think that would be beneficial for him. I mean, he's obviously coming from a system where he's allowed to shoot a lot of threes. And like I said, sometimes that gets streaky, but I think part of his game is he's got to have some of that freedom to take shots. I think he's a guy that can really work in transition as well. So, you know, kind of that fast paced, you know, kind of open three kind of game. I think he could really excel at that.
Tony, before I let you go, of course, Bama is known for their football. Their hoops, not too far behind. But Bama Central, the coverage that you provide, you don't just cover basketball, you cover football as well as a bunch of other sports. Can you explain a little bit about what it is you do and what people who, I know there are Alabama fans in Sacramento, what they can do to follow your work and follow Bama from afar?
Yeah, sure. The site, like you said, it's called BamaCentral.com. We're part of the Sports Illustrated Fan Nation kind of group right there. And it's not just me, too. It's, you know, we've got a lot of really cool people on the team. Joey Blackwell, Katie Windham, they both cover basketball and in football as well. And we really like to, you know, give a full spectrum of Alabama sports. You know, I think we focus mostly on football, basketball, and recruiting, but, you know, we really cover all the sports. So in softball and baseball, and it gets really busy. And I think it's a great one-stop shop for Alabama athletics. And you know, for the basketball fans listening here, you know, I know it was kind of a frustrating season last year for Alabama, but this could be one of the most stacked rosters Alabama has. And we'll definitely have all the coverage for that moving forward once that season gets started up as well.
Well, Tony, I'm hoping the Kings are in a position next year where they don't care so much about the draft as much as they did this year. But if they do, or regardless, maybe they'll be able to pay attention to some of that Bama talent and potentially draft them or bring them in next year. But as of right now, we'll pay close attention to Keon Ellis. Depending upon how his summer league goes, we'd love to have you back on in the future to talk about how his summer league went and projecting how he can actually help the Kings' main roster. But it was a pleasure to meet you, Tony. Thank you so much for taking the time. Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast, also brought to you by our friends at Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store or dealership to carry all the parts that you need. And even when they have the parts, it's their select brand, at their set price point, it's overpriced, you're having no access to savings whatsoever, unlike rockauto.com, which you can access on your phone or anywhere you have an internet connection on your computer. And instantly save yourself money. I'm talking 30, 50, or even 100% more savings at rockauto.com compared to these local chain auto parts stores. An example for you, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump, $353 from a chain store, $216 from Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have so much that you could ask for. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet, and more. Whatever you do, go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. And when you go there, make sure you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Really appreciate Tony spending time with me here on the Locked On Kings podcast, giving us a little more information about Keon Ellis. Again, realistic expectations for someone who wasn't drafted, but Keon seems to be a type of player that the Sacramento Kings absolutely could use. We'll see how well he fares in the California Classic this upcoming weekend. I plan on being at least one of those games in San Francisco. We'll see how he fares in Las Vegas Summer League. I'm hoping to be there for a couple of those games. And if you're going to either the California Classic or Las Vegas, please let me know. I'd love to meet up with you and chat with you a little bit about Kings basketball and one of those two venues. I'm excited to see what Keon Ellis can do here in Summer League. And the fact that he was issued a two-way contract means he's probably going to be, if not guaranteed to be, part of the Sacramento Kings at least immediate future, whether it's as a Stockton King or actually getting time with the main roster. I think Keon is someone who could help the Sacramento Kings, but what should realistic expectations be? We'll kind of get a better idea of that when we see Keon play a little bit more here in Summer League coming up. Of course, we're going to really get our first glance at Keegan Murray for the Sacramento Kings in Summer League as well. There are other names that the Sacramento Kings added to their team. And remember, the Kings are the defending Summer League champions. So they got a title to defend as well. I believe Bobby Jackson, head coach of the Stockton Kings, is going to be the head coach of their Summer League team again, but I haven't seen that confirmed anywhere. Excited to see Summer League basketball again. Kings basketball, to some extent, returning. And of course, we'll cover all the Summer League action and more right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Really appreciate you taking the time today. Can't wait to have you join me on the next episode. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.